Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
An absolutely monumental day on what we will call the DM team on this Thursday, October 2nd, 2025. Donnie Football with you. Chris Muller is across from me. And folks, Andrew Filippone is the man behind the glass.
I can't stop looking at him and laughing. He's got all his Syracuse gear on.
He looks so out of place.
He looks like his skin is like being crawled upon by ants. He just looks in the wrong spot. It's beautiful. I've already gotten a YouTube comment. If today goes well, was yesterday Pony's last show?
All right, take it easy.
A Wally Pip.
Oh, Don, this is what happens. This is why you got to be plugged into sports and make good picks, or else you find yourself where he does right now.
Now, Pony, fortunately, this year he is off to a pretty good start. Now, we still have a long ways to go. We made our picks before the show, as we usually do on Thursdays, and you can check those out on our PM Team podcast page a little bit later on. I'm also a bit compromised right now as well. I have just sent our pal City Limits.
You've got no keyboard situation
down
here.
The hall.
So am I just leading today's show a little bit to start off myself anyway?
I mean, I'm still able. I can still get us through this
first one
here.
Do we think that this was somehow a pony, a subtle sabotage here, that he wanted you to feel it a little bit in your first big show chair?
No, I do doubt that Pony came in here during the midday show and, like, messed something up with the keyboard or unplugged it. Now, Thursday is the big day where they have guests. They have Tyler Kennedy for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Hoke came in, Chris Hoke, for the full hour today, but when I got in here, the keyboard was just all over the place, so that had me a little bit worried. Had Austin reset the computer. That's not working either. The computer itself is working fine, but the keyboard is just a lost cause, so...
But we got the Matt Clement thing played. We got it, and we're ready. You're off and running now.
Yeah, and we can get to that right now, because that was Matt Clement, former MLB pitcher, a usual guest on this show every single Wednesday, telling us that a Mitch Keller trade is inevitable this offseason for the Pirates. And he's not alone in that sentiment. Noah Hyles, who has a new role now at the Post-Gazette, but he was the Pirates beat reporter all season long. He has had this feeling the entire time as well, going through the season, going up to the trade deadline, through the trade deadline, and now as we are hitting the Pirates offseason, he said that Mitch Keller is the guy that the Pirates will have to move on from. He is their trade chip for the Pirates to move on from in order to collect a comparable bat in return, because the Pirates, of course, with a lack of those in their offense. They just had a historically bad offense under first-year hitting coach Matt Haig, who does still have a job as we sit here right now.
Makes a lot of sense.
What I'm worried about, Chris.
Yeah.
I have a fear that this would be the Pirates' big move, quote-unquote big move, in the offseason. They would make a deal with, I don't know, the Athletics, the Orioles, maybe the Red Sox, maybe Ponies Mets, a team that doesn't have much in terms of starting pitching.
Mm-hmm.
They get back a decent bat, possibly even a good bat, but then that's really the marquee move that they make in the offseason, and they leave us wanting and hoping for more in what we are told could be it, 2026, with the lockout looming in 2027. Do you have those same fears?
I do. I think that's a well-founded concern to have, because we know that there's not going to be a move this offseason where the only downside is player that they acquire doesn't play well, and, well, you spent a bunch of money on that, and you're out all that money because the player isn't living up to the contract. Part of being, I guess, a Pirates fan at this point is knowing that to get anything, you're going to have to give something, because there just isn't going to be the stroke of a pen. And here is, just to use Cleveland from yesterday as an example, because we talked about him while Pony was there, rooting for the Tigers, I might add, we found out, which was the least surprising thing ever. They had Jose Ramirez, and he got signed to 7 years, 141, I believe, or 144. There's not going to be a guy that they bring in from the outside. They're not going to sign Bo Bichette. They're not going to do something like that. It's always give to get, and if that's their big move, which I think it probably is, why would anyone, to extend the thought out, trust that Ben Cherington's going to do the right thing and get the right player? So Mitch Keller on Baseball Reference was a 1.5 win player. I think I saw in FanGraphs they had him higher valued. He was like 2.5 wins. Brent Rooker for the Athletics was a 2.5 win player this year on Baseball Reference. I can't imagine the Athletics in a million years giving up a guy who still hits the ball over the fence the way he does, which is the
30 times a year.
Literally the exact kind of bat. I know he's a DH. He's not really going to play the field. I can't imagine them making that move. And it just, when I think about it, Don, I think about the Pirates, because it is so, here's the other thing. It's so out there that they want to move him, or that they intend to move him. Where's the leverage? It feels like they would be trading the dollar bill in this situation and hoping they got 90 good cents back.
That's the other worry, that they have telegraphed this thing and they have seemingly put out, hey, that Mitch is the guy that we need to move. I don't know. Maybe one of those younger pitchers could be somebody that gets put on the move as well. They have an abundance of them.
Yep.
But when it comes to true veteran pieces they have, he's the one.
He's the one.
But I agree with you. Rooker, who is a similar player in terms of war, I would never give him up for a guy that also, we found out yet again, he can't go through a complete good season.
That's the other thing. Yeah, he's a solid pitcher. He is by no means like an upper tier pitcher. I think a good team gets him and they put him in the back half of their rotation. I think maybe a team without any pitching, and let's be honest, the A's pitching this year was horrible, he'd have been probably the best pitcher on their team. Like, by war, he's the second best starter on their team. But Rooker, to me, is a clearly more valuable guy. He played all 162. He hit the ball over the fence 30 times. And that was actually a step down from what he did last year. Here's the other thing when I sort of consider this. Like, they almost can't do it for a DH. They probably do need to do it for a position player. And even if you make the deal, and even if it's like a decent deal, the specter of, from like a fan perspective of, if it's like a younger controllable bat, like a guy who might not be hitting free agency for a couple of years, who's been solid so far, and they're betting big on the guy playing better. It's like kind of like Horwitz, honestly, like where they were saying, okay, we think he'll become a better hitting first baseman, etc. There's going to be the perception, and understandably so, that they're dumping off whatever Mitch Keller's making, you know, $15 million a year, for probably a player who I'm going to be willing to bet won't cost as much. And so you're going to have added scrutiny put on that deal because of that.
And with the Horwitz thing, that looks so much better. Not that he was a bad player. In fact, he was the only position player that the Pirates had this year that had an OPS plus beyond 100. He was the only above average offensive player by season's end. But we all know why that looks so good, why that is the Ben Cherington crown jewel, because the guy they dealt is going to get banned from baseball.
Right.
I mean, Luis Ortiz wasn't having a great year in Cleveland, but it would look a little less like a slam dunk in the Pirates' favor if the guy was still pitching.
They did the closest thing
today.
They did the closest thing to a free trade that you can, in the end. Like, that deal turned out for them to be the closest thing to, you make a trade and it's actually a 1-for-0. You know what I mean? Like, they traded a player who is no longer playing baseball.
Now, they gave up two prospects, but I don't think those players.
I mean, Ben Cherington can put that in his column, though, as a win. And I think my fear is twofold here, that it is a telegraph thing that everyone assumes they're going to do it, that GMs around baseball that he's got to talk to know he's got to do it, and that they get a player back because of those factors who just, even if it's an okay hitter, is not the quality of player that Pirates fans feel Mitch Keller was going the other way. And then here's the other huge worry. Now, they've had a great track record with pitchers, like not just Keller. Skeens obviously has been as advertised. Mm-hmm. What happens if Keller goes somewhere different in a trade and unlocks whatever the fullest Mitch Keller potential is? There is no second half swoon. There is no, you look up early in the year and he's got a 3.1 ERA. You look up at the end of the year, it's 4.2 or whatever. What if he's just a 3.3 pitcher for somebody? And the guy you get isn't hitting 25 home runs or whatever it is and holding down third base or doing whatever that they would need, being a corner outfielder who's a three-win player. Uh-oh.
Which is very possible because we've seen things like that burn them in the past. I also think some of that flack would come back on the guy they just fired, who I know wasn't here the entire time for Mitch. But I have seen people, you know, some people that have pushed back at the idea of Oscar Marine didn't deserve to be fired, and they've pointed out the guys that he fell short with. Quinn Priester couldn't figure it out here. Now the guy is...
he's a beast.
Yeah, he was a great pitcher this year for the best team in baseball. Mitch Keller, another one of those guys who has had good half seasons. He either has a good first half or he has a good second half. He has not been able to put it together. I think people would chalk it up to that more than anything, and they would say, well, Oscar Marine screwed him up.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he's gone because Paul Skeens and the rest of the guys can figure it out.
You'd get some people who would do that, but I think you would also just get people, you would get people like just still blaming Cherington. I mean, all of this does happen under the guise of this. I mean, you have to bring this up. I mean, it happens because we know that the most optimistic projection I think we've seen about their payroll is maybe 100 next year. I've heard people say less. I've heard kind of 85 to 100 thrown out as the general number.
Probably more like 85 to 90, though.
I'm not saying this to defend Ben Cherington, because the Guardians, who don't spend much more money, are a shining example of how when you have better baseball ops and better people making the decisions, you can not spend a ton of money and still find yourself in the playoffs, even if they're a little bit fluky this year. It still does come back to this is kind of the thing that you are dealt with, or the hand you're dealt as a fan when you're operating under certain constraints that don't ever seem like they're really going to change.
What would the return for you need to, I guess, look like the framework of a return, what the guy could end up doing that doesn't make it disappointing, that makes you satisfied? Even if Keller went out and pitched, you know, let's just say the same way he normally does.
Okay. So he's like a pitcher
decent,
who's going to chew up,
great.
He's chewing up innings
yeah.
as like a third or a fourth
ERA
starter.
Is around four.
Yeah. Let's say 3.9 to 4.1 in that range. Here's something that's going to surprise you. I don't care if the player that you get back is like a late 20s, early 30s guy, because I think you're trading this player and you're trying to get better on offense for the next year, maybe two, which we don't know if it's going to happen because of a potential work stoppage looming, right? It needs to be somebody who's instant impact, who's proven. Like, one thing I cannot abide by, and I think I would put Horwitz into this basket, is, well, it's a guy who's got a little bit of experience here. He's just gotten his feet wet. Horwitz was a rookie last year, and we're projecting him. It's got to be something. No, I say Rooker just as like an example, because Rooker's a similar WAR player, and I think you've got to try to that's the best way you can make these comparisons. It's got to be somebody where I know what I'm getting. Like, base level, I think this guy's going to be about an 800 to 830 OPS player. And I know that's like pretty ambitious, because
that'd be their best player.
That's like Jose Ramirez this year, is like an 830 OPS guy. But it has to be somebody who moves the needle. Dude, they had one guy hit 20 home runs this year, and he had a 680 OPS. I was doing baseball reference searches to find out how rare a season is under 700 with 20 home runs. It has to be somebody that can hit the ball over the fence, for one, primarily. And it has to be somebody that isn't going to give away completely at bats. Like, if you gave me, in a trade for Mitch Keller, if your return was, just humor me on this, the Brian Reynolds of even 2022, he hit 27 bombs, he had an 807 OPS, I'd take that.
Absolutely. I would take that in a heartbeat.
That guy was not like some all-star level player. He was a three-win player. I'm using WAR more than I ever have in like any show, but like, you give me 2022 Brian Reynolds equivalent offensive player, I don't even care if he brings a shovel to the field in place of a glove. I don't. Just, I need somebody here who can hit.
I do want to know how our esteemed producer.
Oh, he's in hell over there right now. He got Paul in Washington already called in. Jeff in South Park called in.
Are people flooding him?
He's gotten I think Johnny the Barber is claiming that he's calling from burner phones to make Pony answer his calls.
No, I'm putting out very detailed notes. I'm putting in quotes right now. Mulsey's last line. I need someone here who can hit.
Paul in Washington, the subject line.
Doing a thorough job.
It says, hates Mulsey.
Why would you expect anything less from me here? I'm not taking this on seriously.
Oh, no, you're taking it very seriously.
Now, when it comes to this question, Pony, because you guys allow me to sound off on stuff, so I'm going to do the same.
It requires multitasking.
May I ask a question before you do that? Do you want the preference here for me in this situation to chime in with an opinion because we have callers, or do you want me to screen those?
I mean,
no, we asked Donnie to chime in.
I mean,
we asked Donnie to chime in knowing that the phones are ringing. Well, the callers have their chance here in 5 minutes. It's Jim in Omaha. We know Jim's going to be on the line.
Stay there, Jim.
We
know what you want to talk about.
The Mitch Keller discussion.
Yes.
What do you want in a return? That's what I would ask you. Like, what's a return? I just said, give me Brian Reynolds from a couple of years ago, like production-wise, high 20s home runs, 800 or so OPS. I don't even care if he's good on defense, and that's good for me. What would it be for you if you're trading Keller?
I would love that. I don't think they're getting that. He had a one. Did you say you used? I'm going to write that down too. Mulsey says he used WAR
more than he ever
in this segment. More than he has ever before.
Some might argue. Is it good for?
Absolutely I don't think they're getting anything like that. He was a one WAR player last year. He's expensive. He's not cheap for that price. You can go out and get a Jose Quintana to pitch better than that in free agency on a 1 year deal for like $4 or $5 million. I think we're blowing smoke up our asses if we think we're going to get a lot back for Mitch Keller.
I think they're stuck
with him.
Do you think that's their big move that they want to make? Like trading him?
I think their preference is for him to not be on the team next year because of how much money he makes. And I'm going to make this prediction. I think if he gets traded for a good young hitter, they're going to have to pull a Liriano and put prospects on him the same way they did with Liriano to get Drew Hutchison?
Oh, my God.
Was it Hutchinson or Hutchison?
I thought it was Hutchison.
It was Drew Hutchison.
Well, that right away, no one named Hutchison is going to have a good major league career.
Can you guys tell me who they stapled? Pony, I know you can. Donnie, do you remember the two prospects they stapled on to Liriano to get that deal done?
I want to say Reese McGuire was one.
He was one, and Reese went on to...
And he's still playing.
Yeah.
He's on the Cubs playoff roster right now.
He was known for yanking the ball over the fence, among other things.
Harold.
That's a masturbating reference by Mulsey.
All right,
Harold Ramirez.
I'll turn my mic off now and let you guys talk.
I think there are calls coming in there. Yeah. Anyway, he does have a point there, though. I do think that
we're going to end up disappointed.
I said that earlier too. The money, I think, is a huge factor here. It is. You can't ignore it.
Should the Pirates trade Mitch Keller? If that is their big move, will that be enough? Are you expecting to be disappointed yet again by Ben Cherington and this front office? 412-928-9370. Get in line. Even if you just want to flood Pony with calls, get in line. 412-928-9370. You can also hit us up at that number. The Fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Here is our first Andrew Filippone headline.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Talk on the Fan, that's presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit paramountplus.com/NFL to get started today.
Not as easy as it looks to get those big promo suites.
I do those all week anyway. It is the DM team, yes, on this Thursday, the first Thursday in October. Donnie Football, Chris Muller across from me, Andrew Filippone is behind the glass. I have a makeshift keyboard now, and this thing looks older than I am, and only half the keys work. So I guess we have nothing better in the back there. That's tremendous. So, Mulzy, for this segment here, you're going to have to be the guy that calls out the
Wait a minute. Can I just jump in for a second? I know. Oh, I'm not supposed to do that.
I mean, you're not supposed to, but Donnie occasionally will pop his finger
up. Has anybody thought about taking the keyboard from the middle computer?
Good call.
And using that instead of the crappy one you have?
That's great producing.
You just have a perfectly good keyboard sitting there. I have Nelly here. Can I just send Nelly in there to grab that and give it to you right now?
We could do that.
What do you think of that?
We could do that. We got a lot of calls on the line. If you want to have a call, have Pony have to put his first call on the air. Donner, I have the screen up here. I've got a laundry list of people who want to talk about things.
Go ahead, Mulse.
We've got Jeff in South Park. We've got Paul in Washington. Anthony in Pittsburgh. John in Pittsburgh. So who do you want to hear from?
Let's hear from our buddy Jeff.
Number two fan of the PM team, Jeff in South Park. The first person to call into the show while Pony is producing. Hi, Jeff.
Hello, fellas. Just wanted to touch base with you. I'm out LARPing right now, but... I found an interesting ad for inflated dates. I figured maybe you could get limits one. You know, a little asexual
LARPing,
guy.
What does LARPing mean, Johnny?
Well, me and nothing but my five closest guy friends, we dress up as World of Warcraft figures and run around South Park plugging each other with little paper swords.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. Honestly, yeah, Jeff in South Park, who's definitely not Johnny the Barber.
No. Johnny the Barber has much more bass in his voice and is very manly.
And also has an unhealthy infatuation with Will Howard. Anything else you'd like to share with us, Jeff in South Park?
Yes. I wanted to give a shout out to the YouTube channel. It seems that we have actually one female on the channel that is willing to go out with limits. She's a little older than him, but... he won't return her calls. He's afraid of it. So we tried.
I was excited.
Wow.
Desiree was willing to go out with him.
Yeah.
And
I've seen this saga play out. You guys were literally setting up a date for limits yesterday on the YouTube chat.
And he ran from it. He fears the kitty.
I mean, thank you, Jeff in South Park, who's definitely not Johnny.
Limits has a date out there. Okay, so we have the real Jeff in South Park. I have it pulled up here.
Well, that was my bad. I got confused screening
that
call.
It's hard to do.
Yeah, he's gotten through to the best of us. I mean, and now you do have a little bit of assistance in there.
But it's hard when you hear him on the handset to know what kind of a voice is coming through.
But I don't want Nelly. Nelly's just here in case something goes completely wrong.
Right.
Yeah,
I don't want Nelly
to do the job. I lost the bet. I'm going to pay my bet, unlike guys in the morning show.
Nelly, in his day, he has been fooled by guys like Glenn and Glenn Willard.
Oh, yeah, Nelly has been a victim
George
of the Starkey
and Washington.
Call.
Yeah.
Did he get was he on the ones and twos for Thomas and Jefferson?
No, that was Prez.
The Prez.
The other
Prez. He got fooled by another Prez.
By George and Washington.
Yeah, that's right.
We're going to do the real Jeff in South Park here. Hello, Jeff.
I actually called in as Hugh Jazz.
Hugh Jazz?
No, that's a pretty good one, too.
Yes.
At least that's one that we can actually say on the air, Jeff.
I was hoping that Pony would write my name down as that.
I did dump Johnny, though, by the way. There was a point in that call where I used the first
dump? Oh, good.
Dump from here.
That's good producing work.
Yeah. Because you said, Donnie, you'd rather be safe than sorry, so yep. I took that advice to heart.
If you have to question it, that's the advice I've gotten.
He was talking about domesticated house cats, I think, and that's what Pony might have dumped. Anyway, Jeff, you wanted to perform a wellness check on our guy?
Well, yeah, I wanted to make sure he was hanging in there. I remember when Donnie first brought up this idea a couple months ago, like even though I couldn't see Pony's face because I was listening to him on the radio, he sounded absolutely mortified. So I don't know why he, I'm not going to lie. It kind of sounds like he alluded to that job is beneath him.
Oh, he said it is in his mind, but that not Donnie doing it because Donnie does so much more. That was his, his threading of that needle, Jeff.
To be fair, I know what he's talking about going to the bench. Like, I have my regular job where I perform billing duties or whatever, but whenever they would ask me to go in the back to pack because we were shorthanded, I'm not going to lie. I hope nobody from work is listening, but I'm not going to lie. I would go.
Turn your nose up at it. Jeff, have you ever LARPed? Have you ever live-action role-played in your life?
No, come on.
I didn't know. I thought you might have dressed up for a Star Wars premiere or something. My older brother did.
No, I've never done anything like that. No, I mean, I'm actually one of those ones who didn't even dress up as an adult for Halloween, except for a few occasions. I remember probably about 20 years ago when I was 21, I remember getting a Yoda costume for Halloween, but like then there was this long gap in between. It's acceptable now that I have a
Age you will not get. Sex yeah. you will not have.
Yeah, it's and my ex-wife was Troy Polamalu. Was actually a
wait
costume,
a minute. You went as
so you
Yoda?
You guys were Yoda and Troy Polamalu.
Yes.
Jeff, I think we can leave it on that note. I think that's like a perfect way to do it here.
A couple of spiritual creatures.
Oh, very spiritual. Yoda just faded away. You remember that? He's eating that nasty-ass food, and then he faded away.
What was that, episode 6? I'm not a
It was Return
Star
of the
Wars
Jedi.
Guy.
I don't know which one's which.
I would dress up as Jabba the Hutt. He's still my favorite one.
That big guy. The big guy coming in there, running his little crime syndicate.
Follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan. That's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Jason Mackey, he joins us coming up next right here on Sports Radio 93.7TheFan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Hotline, that's presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Donnie Football, Chris Muller with you on this Thursday.
Slide Andrew into Filippone. The DM team, right?
Andrew Filippone is behind the glass, a DM team Thursday.
Donnie, he's got like an expression right now, like a whole look that I have seen on you so many times I've become desensitized. He's reaching to one of the computers. He's very locked in on the task at hand. Multiple things going on in there. And just seeing that on his face, nice to witness.
One of the reasons I will like this exercise, not that it puts Pony through some sort of torture, and you know, Jeff in South Park brought up Pony was horrified when the idea came up, and he was.
Yes. Make better picks.
But I think he will get a better appreciation of everything that has to be done, and since Nelly is back there not doing the work for him, he was able to log into everything necessary.
Oh, he's typing up copious
one
notes.
One of the computers. Like, yeah. You have to
have
eyes.
Do the website stuff.
Yeah.
Chaptering, they call it.
Yep.
Podcasting.
Yep. And you make it look easy, frankly, Don. I mean, you're like a one-man.
Well, how am I making
machine?
It look so far? I know we had a dial tone go out over the air, but that was all Nelly's fault.
I couldn't tell if it was over the air where you were like, hey, Mulzy, you have
yeah,
this.
Yeah, that was my fault.
Yeah.
I'll cell phone that.
You know what, though? We grade so many things here very briefly. I would tell you right now through 35 minutes of this show,
yeah.
I'd say you've got like a C+, B-. I think
that's
rock solid. Well, I mean, when was the last time a dial tone went out over the air with Donnie producing?
It was Nelly's fault. He told me to hit literally the only wrong button. Nelly's nodding yes.
I think Nelly's just too nice. He doesn't want to.
No, he literally pointed to that button and said, hit that.
What if Big Nelly did it on purpose?
He probably.
If our boy Nell did it on purpose, that would be a delight. Anyway.
Jason Mackey, he's brought to you by Westminster College. Fall open house, September 20th, westminster.edu for more details. Jason, how are you appreciating this from afar? Did you ever think you would experience a day with Andrew Filippone having to produce the show, call you, set you up?
Hey, Jason, you ready to go on the air?
I am laughing my butt off, guys.
Because
great theater.
You are also one of the people that you actually have the phone number saved. So when we call, you normally just say, hey, what's up, Donnie? So I don't know if you were aware of this happening today, but that may have...
Donnie answered. I said, this better be Andrew. And it was. And he
confirmed.
He sounded a little stressed. He said, I'm going to put you on
also
hold
confirmed.
Before I screwed up this next break. So
how stressed do you think
Ben... there's a lot of balls in the air.
How stressed do you think Ben Cherington's going to be over the next couple of months, Jason?
Oh, boy. Pretty stressed, Chris, as they should be. I was surprised, man. I'm still surprised. I can't say I understand it. I mean, I don't think it's impossible for them to be good next season. I know that's kind of probably a crazy statement, but I mean, Ben Cherington has to make a lot of very serious, correct, different, bunch of adjectives there, types of moves, man. I mean, they have to spend more money. They have to spend money in a different way. They cannot afford to, you know, lose this offseason. They've lost too many offseasons. They cannot lose another one. They shouldn't have lost the last one. Left field, third base, bullpen. Ben Cherington's got a busy couple of months ahead of him.
Do you have any confidence that they will spend a little bit more money, knowing what is looming in 2027 and maybe some added pressure, like, okay, you have to get it right this time?
Yeah, I mean, spend more money, yes. Spend enough money, no. I'm not going to sit here and say that I believe their payroll is going to go up to $100 million. I don't believe that. They were at about $88 million last year. Like, if they went over 90, that wouldn't surprise me. I do think that's within the realm of possibilities, and I think that's the only way you get out of this. Like, I think Bob Nutting making this move is if I had to, you know, put together what I know, what I've heard, what I think, it's that we're close enough, and we need to make a couple key signings, sort of like the Pirates did before the 2013 season, and they think that's going to put them over the top. A lot of people are going to disagree with that. A lot of people are mad right now. I'm just trying to relay my understanding here. So I think payroll will go up a little bit. I don't think it'll go down, but I don't think it's, you know, enough, or I don't think it's going to placate people.
Jason, what do you think is the chief motivator, if you had to get into the collective brain trust's mindset, for trying to deal Mitch Keller, which seems like it's the worst kept secret in Major League Baseball, that they would like to deal him? Do you? Well, let me rephrase it. We know they want to deal him. Which do you think is the more strong motivator, moving the salary off the books or getting a hitter back in return?
It's honestly not that money motivated, Chris. Other than, you know, it's a convenient thing. And like, here's what I mean by that a little bit more specifically. Like, they can get that labor, they can get those innings for cheaper. You know, I'm going to sound like I'm defending the Pirates for a second, but they don't have to pay $15 million for a number four, number three starter because they can replace him for a lot cheaper. They have the guys to do that. So, I mean, what they're going to do is try to flip him into a hitter, as they should. But it's not like, oh my goodness, we have to get this money off the books. That's not how they're looking at it. What they're looking at is saying, you know, we've got Oviedo, we've got Burrows, we've got Ashcraft. You need places to put these guys. And they're just not in a position, and this is a credit to them because they have grown some young pitching. They don't need to pay, you know, what is effectively a number three, number four starter. They don't need to pay that guy $15 million.
Jason, our producer, wants to ask you a question.
Hi, Jason.
All right. Hi, Andrew. Great to hear you.
True or false? Oscar Marin was fired because in player exit interviews, he got slammed and ripped to shreds by Pirates pitchers.
True, but I think you're over-dramatizing. I mean, that's not the only reason, but yes.
You said true.
Was Paul Skenes the biggest one of those players who was not complimentary of him in exit interviews?
I don't know. I don't have the ranking of, who was, obviously Skenes' input carried a lot of weight.
I would hope it carried the most weight of those guys in exit interviews.
I mean, I would think so, but you're asking me who was, like, the loudest. Is at least the way I took that question. I don't know if Skenes was the loudest. Obviously, his voice is going to carry the most weight. But, I mean, what Andrew's saying is right. Like, the players were not satisfied with the level of improvement they achieved. I think the Pirates looked at this and said, we had a pretty good pitching staff because we had a pretty good pitching staff, not because we got the most out of it. And I'm not trying to slam Oscar Marin, but, like, you know, that was baked into the calculus of the decision they made, yes, as far as I understand it.
So did Matt Haig, like, hypnotize all the Pirates position players before their exit interviews? Explain to me how he's still employed.
Yeah, he's passing out Get-Go gift cards.
Or
in the last day.
In all seriousness, though, Jason, would you then, would you say that the Pirates were bad hitters because they have bad hit? You know what I mean? Like, the same thing you said for why the pitching's good was the hitting was bad.
So, okay, there's a middle ground here. And Oscar's contract was up. He was an easy one to move on from. Matt Haig is under contract probably for two more years. Typically, when you have a hitting coach, pitching coach, they get 3 years on that first deal. I don't know if I expect Matt Haig to return in the same capacity. I don't think that's been determined. Like, what I'm saying is the news from the other night was because it's easy, because those contracts are up. They are very much looking at their hitting scenario and saying, is he the right guy for this team? Like, Donnie Kelly didn't hire him, and they might sit there and say, look, Matt Haig is probably better deployed in this capacity. We're going to go hire a hitting coach. Like, they're having those discussions right now. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but, like, that's what they're looking at right now, thinking, you know, is this the right way of going about it? And they'd be foolish if they're not looking inward at how they're teaching and coaching and improving hitters, because it's not good enough.
How much of a say do you think Don Kelly will have in the offseason acquisitions? Because I know that the other day he said he hopes that he has a fair amount.
I think he will, Donnie. I mean, I think Derek Shelton had a fair amount of input. There was a pretty healthy back and forth with Ben Cherington. I mean, I don't think that was a good thing, right? Like, the acquisitions didn't pan out, but I don't think they're going to shut out Donnie Kelly. I mean, they like Donnie Kelly a lot. I know that's not breaking any news, but, like, I fully expect him to have a strong hand. I mean, we're already seeing it with reshaping his coaching staff, but the type of additions, and I think Donnie, I would hope Donnie realizes not just the players, but, like, the type of players they need, right? Like, they don't need the Michael A. Taylors, the Rowdy Tellez. They don't need a bunch of guys on smaller contracts who may produce. They need a couple guys on big contracts who will produce. And I hope Donnie Kelly, I think he recognizes that.
Jason, since you're back on the beat, I'm going to ask you on October 2nd to make your first 2026 Pirates prediction that we will clearly hold you to.
All right.
Better chance in 2026 that O'Neal Cruz hits 30 home runs or Spencer Horwitz hits 20?
I'm going to go with O'Neal Cruz hitting 30.
Ooh, I kind of wish you had said the other one there, honestly.
I mean, Horwitz just isn't – he's not a traditional home run guy. Like, I think he might have a pretty good season, but I don't think Cruz with a little bit of consistency is that far from 30. Like, I mean, potential wise.
What plan do they have to get him unlocked then? Like, I'll kind of double barrel. What plan is there internally? Do you get any sense that there is a North Star or that somebody there has had a serious sit down or a group of people and said, this is the guy we have to figure out if we're going to be anything like what we want to be in 2026?
I don't know of a North Star type plan, Chris, but I know that figuring out O'Neill Cruz is hugely important. And how they have operated in the past, I would be surprised if they didn't try to get at him in the Dominican Republic this offseason. Like, have somebody work with him. Have somebody saddle up next to him. And frankly, they should take a lesson from a couple years ago, and they're not unaware of this. Remember when Carlos Santana was around? Like, that was the guy that Cruz looked to in, like, kind of a cool uncle or a dad or however you want to phrase it. Like, they miss that guy. And I know you don't go out free agent shopping exclusively for, like, O'Neill Cruz's babysitter, but if you can get somebody who's going to look after him, I think that would help. But, I mean, you need to get somebody to get through to him and say, like, dude, it's time. It's beyond time. You need to grow up. There needs to be no question about your effort. You need to be more consistent and explain to him what's on the other side of this, because it's, you know, he's behind schedule at this point.
Quick one here for you, Jason. Another year of Andrew McCutchen, or is the reunion tour over?
I think the reunion tour is over, Donnie. I do. It's kind of sad. I feel bad saying that, but I mean, I think Kutch is going to look for more of a regular role, and I think the Pirates can't afford to pay a DH who didn't really produce all that much last season $5 million. I took Ben Charrington coming back as Andrew McCutchen not coming back. Maybe and hopefully I'm wrong, but that was my interpretation.
Jason Mackey, check him out at the Post Gazette. Jason, thanks for taking the time.
All right, dudes. Take care. Thanks for having me.
There we go. Jason Mackey from the PG. You can listen to this show, the PM Team, on demand, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We will keep the baseball conversation going a little bit. Coming up next, the team in Cleveland getting set to take on the Detroit Tigers in just about 20 minutes or so from now. Why is that team always so good, and why can the Pirates never figure it out? We get to that coming up next. Long commercial-free segment on the other side of this break right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.